this morning I'm coming with a message that's just heavy, and it's brought great conviction and the fear of the Lord. I want to ask you guys a question. How do you view the world when it comes to the lost? When it comes to people who don't know Jesus? What lens are you using? Are you using your physical lens, or are you using your spiritual lens? How many have said, my life is busy already, how can I find time to go after the lost? Perhaps you find yourself overwhelmed and you find yourself paralyzed that you don't know what to do. That's me. Have you ever asked God to see the lost through his eyes? Some Christians view the lost as a distraction, interruption, a nuisance, a burden. And if you look at our world right now, it is broken. Winnipeg is broken. Winnipeg is lost. You look at the news this past week, it's heavy. It's heavy. This world is sick. This world is lost. And we are in a time where we need to ask God to show us how much he loves them. Seeing the lost through Jesus transforms the way we interact with those around us and the way we think and view about them. What do you think when God looks at you? When he looks at your coworkers? When he looks at your neighbor? When he looks at that guy asking for change at the stop sign? God sees each of us through eyes of unconditional love. He loves everyone, and all people matter to him. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. Christ died for them. Jesus loves them. God has a plan for their lives, and he wants to have a relationship with them. And we as Christians are a bridge between the lost and to God. We were all lost at one point, and now we are found. And do we not want that for the lost to be found? Do we want others to experience the love of God? You know, God has me on this whole theme of love. A few weeks ago, I talked about returning to your first love. And then we had gone to a leaders' conference, and here's Mark Hughes talking about lost and found. He's talking about the lost. And one of his points was the love for the lost. And the Lord's like, I need you to talk on that. So this morning, I titled my message, Eyes of Love, Seeing the Lost Through God's Eyes. And some of you are already doing this. And I want to encourage you, keep going. Don't stop. The Lord's going to take you to the next level on that. Continue to love them. Continue to go after them. But there are some of us that are struggling with this. And I want to let you know God wants to transform your eyes this morning. So I'm wondering if we can turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. I'm going to start at verse 30, but my main verse is going to be verse 34. But I just want to give us a background. So it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot, from all the towns and got there ahead of him. Now here's my main scripture. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So this morning, I want to talk about three things that Jesus saw in this crowd. And then I want to just share 2 points on how to have eyes of love. So the first thing that Jesus saw is he saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity to show the Father's love. Other versions say he was moved with compassion. Everywhere that Jesus went, he saw an opportunity. The disciples in this scenario, not so much. Because they were tired, they were hungry, and I'm sure they were just focused on getting rest. And I'm sure Jesus felt the same way. But he saw an opportunity. Jesus knew how to show his Father's love because he was experiencing it daily. This supernatural love consumed him and compelled him to love, to share every moment he could with the lost. He knew his Father's love is everlasting, unchanging, a love so great that it's beyond human comprehension, a love that's better than life. Jesus saw an opportunity to show agape love, a love that gives, a love that serves, it sacrifices and dies for one another. How many times have you all experienced the love of Christ? How many of you experienced him showering it down on you? I have, and I'm a mess. It is the greatest feeling in the world. Yeah, it is the greatest feeling. And all of us here can say we have. And we need to show that same kind of love in everything we do. And we need to ask for opportunities. There are opportunities all around us. I remember we went on a double date with George and Sherry. And we were in Osborne Village. And we were just walking back to our cars. And I happened to look across the street. And across the street is, you know, a bunch of restaurants. There's thing is Toad in the Hall there. And then there's, you know, there's a club. And long lineup of kids. And there's people hanging outside the restaurant and everything. So here I'm like, okay, Lord, show me what you see. So here I am like, okay, Lord, I'm looking for that supernatural eyesight. But then the Lord just said, I see the lost. That's all he said to me.
I'm sorry, say again.
He said, all I see is the lost. And here I am trying to see this grand thing, and he just comes with a simple word. Wes, I see the lost. See an opportunity. So we need to look for opportunities. The second thing that Jesus saw is he saw value. He saw value in the lost. Luke 19, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And I'm sure that these people that were coming to see Jesus, I'm sure they felt worthless, unwanted, broken, dirty. And I'm sure Jesus saw all of that. But he looked past all of that. And he had compassion. He looked beyond the surface and saw how beautiful and how special they are. And when you look at the world today, when you look at your family, when you look at your coworkers, when you look at people in the grocery store, when you look at people walking on the street, are you seeing value or are you just seeing a mess that you want to walk away from? I'm reminded of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. And I just want to quickly read it. And it says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together, and they say, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Are we going after that one sheep? Are we seeing value in that one person? You know, something else the Lord said in this whole value thing, he says, don't focus on the outward appearance. The world will focus on these things that they can only physically see, what people wear, their ethnicity, their worldly things. The list goes on. On the outside, they look okay. But inside, the reality is they are being dominated by something. If it's not Jesus, it's the world. 1 Samuel 16 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height.' But the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God focuses on the inward. He sees people's hearts and their heartaches and pains. And God wants to give us eyes like that. God looks for and sees the good in others. And what he sees, we must also see. We need to break out of our narrow, self-contained worlds and get involved with the people around us and show them the love of Jesus. I want to give you an example of what not to do. And this is an example of me. I went to 7-Eleven with Twyla, and I'm like, right, I'm going to get a coffee. And then there is a gentleman, homeless, and he's asking for change. I said, sorry, nope, go in, grab my coffee, come out, sit in the car. And then Twyla tells me, so why didn't you prophesy over him? And I just sank. Here I am, given this amazing gift of prophecy, and yet all I could focus was my amazing gift of my free coffee. I failed to see the opportunity. I failed to see the value in that person. What do you think was more valuable in God's eyes? My coffee or that person who had the opportunity to share his love? I didn't have eyes of love for that person. I had eyes of love for my coffee. So we need to see value in people. The third thing that Jesus saw is he saw the harvest. John 4:35, it says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Other version says it's white for harvest. God wants to do amazing things in our lives and through your life. He wants to bring a great harvest of souls. And remember, in 2 Peter, God is not willing that anyone should perish. Anyone should perish. But all should come to repentance. He desires that the people for whom he died for would come to know him as Lord and Savior. Isaiah 6, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Jesus was always ready. He was always available. And my heart has been on fire these few weeks because we must see the opportunity God gives us new days every day, and we need to see the opportunity. We need to see the value in people. We need to see the harvest. This world is broken, it is sick, and it needs Jesus. And we are that bridge. So I said, okay, Lord, you've shown me these 3 points. So, Lord, how do I have eyes of love? Sure, I need to have a devotional life. I need to have a prayer life. I need to be putting Jesus first. So I wasn't prepared for what the Lord told me on how to have eyes of love. The first thing that he told me, you need to look at yourself through my eyes. You need to see yourself as God sees you. And when you start to see the value in you, you will soon see the value in those that don't know Jesus. And I believe breakthrough needs to happen in this. Well, how does God want me to see then? See myself. And I'll be honest, I struggled with this for years. And the Lord gave me a bunch of different things. And I believe the Lord wants me to speak these over you. Speak these truths over you. The first thing that he said, you were made for a purpose. Psalm 39, it's a beautiful verse, but I'm just going to read a bit of it. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Purpose, guys, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were made with a purpose. Second thing he said, you are perfect. This world is going to tell you you're not perfect. But the Lord this morning is telling you, you are perfect. Not perfect in the sense that you've got high IQ, flawless skin, great personality, but perfect for the amazing plan that God has for your life. Perfect for good works throughout the day that only you can do. Not perfect in the sense that you do everything right the first time, haven't fallen in sin or even tempted in sin, but perfect because God views you with eyes full of hope and a love, even though he sees your faults and weaknesses, he still sees that you are perfect. You are perfect for the work of the salvation that God wants to accomplish in you. You guys believe that this morning? James 1 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Wow. He also said that you are loved. You are loved. His love is stronger and deeper than any human love and emotion. You have a close friend who knows you and understands you better than anyone. Even though we fail daily, he has compassion on all of us because his love is unstoppable, unconditional, and never ending. You are unique. There is no one like you. You fill a special spot in this world and in God's work. Who can express the act of kindness like you can? Who can share something encouraging like you? Who can fill needs maybe only you and God can see? You are custom made for the good works God has prepared for you. And the last thing he said to me, your life has incredible value. And our world does not know that, because we are seeing suicide rates at an all-time high. Sadly, these people are not seeing the value in their life. Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. All of these values I just read, you are loved. You are unique. Your life has incredible value. You were made with purpose. You are perfect. All of those value God sees in those that don't see, that don't know him. And we need to let the lost, we need to let the broken know that. So the first thing for how to have eyes of love is that we need to look at ourselves through God's eyes. And the second and last thing he said is how you view me. Because if we view God in this distorted way, a God who is constantly angry, a God who likes to just throw me in the desert and leave me there, or a God who likes to give me trial after trial after trial, he doesn't care about me. How can we go and talk about God and bring them to the lost if we've got this wrong picture of who our amazing Father is? What kind of mental picture do we have of God? And we need to adjust our concepts of God, or else we start thinking and basing our bad experiences on that. We end up with this distorted, inaccurate view of God. Your perception is very important, and we can end up seeing God with many different lenses. Reality and perception can be miles apart. A.W. Tozer, I think that's how you say his last name, Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holies, he says, what comes to our minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Who we perceive God to be greatly affects the way we live. What you think about God shapes your whole relationship with him. And I'm going to tell you this morning that my Father is faithful. He is merciful. He is loving. He is kind. He is gentle. Oh, and the list goes on. And the world needs to hear that. In closing, how valuable are we to God? How valuable are those who are not yet in church, who don't know Jesus? Let your spiritual vision get larger and clearer and stronger as you learn to see the lost the way Jesus does. We need to ask for a deeper revelation of his love. And when we begin to see it, whoa, sky's the limit. And I'm telling you right now, it's always on full blast and is pointed in our direction. But I believe it's blocked by our unbelief. And that needs to break. I'm going to say a bold statement here. What if Christians were known for their love instead of their judgment. Don't do what I did at 7-Eleven. I judged him. And I know that broke the Father's heart. I had an opportunity. I missed it. And I feel like the Lord this morning wants us, I feel like the Lord is saying, church, it's time for us to step out. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to be bold, and it's time to break out. Right now, I want you guys to look around and look at all the empty seats that are in our sanctuary, even the seats that are stacked up over there in the back. It's time, church, it's time to invite the lost to church. It's time to pack this place. We have a building that has been paid for. We have a lot of seats here, and we need to be packing this place. We need Jesus to awaken our love for the lost, to awaken our eyes. And this part scared me. We are not ready to go to the banquet of the wedding feast. The Father's house is still not full. I have seen it. The Lord gave me a vision a couple years ago, and he took me to the banquet. And he asked me, Wes, why are there empty seats? The vision ended there. I believe that there is a great move of God coming to Canada. It's coming to Winnipeg. I don't want to miss it, but I also don't want those that don't know Jesus to miss it. So I want to end with this. The harvest is ready. The harvest is bountiful. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is white. But the workers are few. Will you go and love the lost? I'm not asking that question. The Lord is asking that question of all of us this morning. Will we go? And I would love the opportunity to pray for you, that there are some of you here that are wondering, well, why do I not have compassion for the lost? Why do I not love the lost? I had to ask that same question to myself. There's some of you who want to have eyes of love, and I want to be able to have that opportunity this morning to pray for you, to have, you know, all our eyes open this morning. So let's get out there. Our city needs Jesus, and we are his workers. Let's get our love on. Right? Amen. Thank you.